Well, we all live in a world where everywhere we look, we see masks because of the COVID-19 pandemic that we've all been in this season living through. And as we see these masks everywhere, we've all had to deal with it whether we like it or not. And for some, maybe some of you, you've gotten pretty bold when it comes to your mask wearing or your thought or your idea when it comes to mask. To mask or not to mask. And sometimes people can be pretty audacious in the way that they view the mask or bold in the way that they view the mask. And sometimes they don't even realize they're being so bold when it comes to their view on masking. It reminds me of a story of my friend Maki, our new church starter apprentice on our team here at Miles City. Before he came over to my house in the beginning of this pandemic season, he stopped at the grocery store and then came over to my house. He got some juice at the grocery store, then comes over, knocks on my door. I open up the door and I see Maki standing there holding the juice. And I said, "Maki, don't you think that's a little bold? I mean, don't you think that that might be just a little too offensive?" And he's looking around, he's like, "The juice? I mean, I got no pulp. I mean, what are you talking about?" I'm like, "No, not the juice, Maki. Not the juice. This, Maki, what's on your shirt? Take off your mask? You're walking around taking off your mask," and he looks down, and he's like, "Take off your mask." And you can see his brain slowly connecting the puzzle pieces of, oh yeah, it's kind of heightened in this season right now about if I should wear a mask or not wear a mask. But in his context, as he just moved from Japan, he's thinking when he pulled that shirt, he was thinking about the retreat that he did, that he was speaking at. The camp theme was take off your mask. He wasn't thinking about it through the lens of now this COVID-19 pandemic. And so we sat there laughing at him, in a sense, walking through Kroger, through the store with his mask on, wearing the shirt, conflicting signals of his mask on, and saying, "Take off your mask." Pretty bold, and he didn't even know it. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, this concept of being audacious, this concept of being bold. And hey, before we go any further, don't worry. Behind the mask is not to be political. In fact, it is about being spiritual. It's actually very personal. It's about getting up into our business. Because the fact is, before COVID-19, all of us have been wearing a mask. And the creator of the universe actually is calling out to us with this idea of he wants us to take off our mask. He wants us to take off these invisible masks, because we've gotten really good at the mask game of putting up these invisible masks for the world to see, to make us feel one way or think that, hey, view me this way or that way, when really inside we are completely broken. We're just kind of putting on this front, and it's really not who we truly are. We talked about this last week in 1 Samuel chapter 16. The prophet Samuel was given a reminder by God. Here was the reminder. He says, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as the man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but," say this with me, "the Lord looks on the heart." We can fool everyone in the room, and we're pretty good at it, but we cannot fool God. God sees it all. And so what we're doing in this series over the next few weeks is we're asking the question is, what's behind the mask? What truly is stirring up inside of us? What's going on? What are the virtues that are living in our life, that are pouring out of our life? And what is truly behind the mask? And at Miles City, we have 5 key virtues here at Miles City that helps us go about the attitude and how we reach our vision of helping people move towards God. And we truly believe that if we apply these 5 key virtues in our lives are better. Why are they better? Because we look more like Jesus. And when we look more like Jesus, it causes other people to step back and take notice. What's different about you? What's behind the mask? Why is that happening? Why are you responding in that way? What is behind the mask? And so, one of our key virtues, last week we talked about the extra mile, but the other one that we have here is one called audacious care. And here's our definition of audacious care. We boldly care for our personal health and the health of those around us. We do this so that we can be most effective in the spiritual battle that is all around us. We are not afraid to confront each other with grace and truth. We believe an imaginary conversation often deserves a real conversation with someone. And what do I mean by that? An imaginary conversation deserves a real conversation with someone. Something that we say all the time here at Miles City. When you're having that conversation in the car or right before you go to bed and there's no one in the room, that's a signal, whatever tension or conflict that's happening between you and someone else, to actually pick up the phone or go for a meeting and have a real talk. And when you do that, what does that show? It shows that you have audacious, bold care for that person, that you actually care about that relationship. And the biggest excuse to not have these conversations is always, well, I don't want to make it a big deal. I don't want to make it a big deal. And what we say around here is make it a big deal before it becomes a big deal. Make it a big deal before it becomes a big deal. Make every effort. Are you making every effort on your own to make peace, to have peace with one another? So important. Now, a lot of times when we talk about this virtue, audacious care, I've leaned into this idea of an imaginary conversation. So today I thought we'd kind of switch it up a little bit and not take it from this angle, but take it more from this angle. This idea of we do this so that we can be most effective in the spiritual battle that is all around us. This idea of how do we be most effective with a battle that we face, that all of us face throughout our lives. And God, in his audacious care for us, used a man named Paul to go to a church called Ephesus to help equip and to help challenge and encourage the church of Ephesus as they endured this battle. And he gives them some specific tools, some helpful tools to help them on the battle, to take personal care of their health. And I truly believe if we allow these tools to come into our lives and we pick them up and we use them and cover them with our lives, it is so important. It will help us face the battles that we face in our lives. Because it's important for us to have audacious care for ourselves, for our personal health, and to look out for the personal health of others. So before we dive into these tips, as we dive into this audacious care model that we have, I want to pray for you and pray for me. Father, we need you. You gathered us here for a reason as we watch wherever we're watching. And I just ask right now that you would help us not miss what you would have for us. Control my mind, control my tongue as I communicate. I need your help. And I pray this in the power of your son's name, Jesus. Amen. So hey, I want you to open up a copy of the scriptures if you have it there, or you can turn it on your device, whatever device that you use, to the book of Ephesians, which is in the New Testament. You got the Old Testament and the New Testament. Turn it on to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 6. Like I said, we have the man named Paul who was writing this, and you got to understand, Paul's life was literally transformed like no other. He was known for being a Christian hater to becoming a Christian aider. He was all about hating Christians. Now he was all about aiding Christians. And here's what he says as he's closing out this letter to the church of Ephesus. He says this, finally, closing thoughts here, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God, not just parts, not just this one, not just that one. I want you to put on the entire armor, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Paul is reminding us of a spiritual battle that all of us face. We have a spiritual battle, and we talked about this in our series called Rev It Up back last month, about this idea of how there's a great enemy that is looking. He's hunting literally our souls, and he wants to literally take your soul for his selfish gain. And this is a warning that this is really happening. And a lot of times I think we can just kind of live through our lives and kind of think about this invisible battle, this like demonic spiritual force is just a fairy tale or a storybook. But I'm here to remind you today that it's real, that there is a real demonic force that is literally after you and is after me. It literally says in 1 Peter that literally the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking to devour, which also reminds me like an alligator that I saw this week on Facebook. Check this out. Check this out. Look at this alligator trying to eat this turtle. Look at this. Can you imagine? Look at this turtle just walking away, and this alligator is just like, are you kidding me? Like he's disappointed because he could not destroy and eat the turtle like he wanted to. Why? Because of the armor of the turtle. Ephesians 6:13, it continues. It says this, therefore, take up, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Take up and put on the armor of God. We have a choice. You have a choice. I have a choice. We can walk through our lives and put on these masks to try to get through life, but they will always fall short. He says, don't put on a mask in a sense. I want you to put on the full armor, the armor that only God can supply. And so let's look at these specific armors, these specific tools that he offers to those that follow Jesus. Here's the first one. He says this, stand therefore, having fastened on, what does it say? The belt of truth. I want you to put on the belt of truth. Now, in the first century, soldiers, what they did is they had these loose garments that they would put on before they would put on any other of their armor. And these loose garments, sometimes there would be like ropes and strings that would kind of go longer. And if they started to run, it could literally trip over as they ran. And so it was really important in a sense for them to gird up their loins. Is what they would call it. Gird up their loins, fasten up those loose garments, and tuck them in the belt of truth before the day of the battle. They would literally gird up their loins. This idea of, you know, with us in the modern world, right, when we have our pants, and if you don't have a belt on sometimes, right, your pants can start sagging all over the place, and then you're showing your plumber's crack, you know who you are. Sometimes I've been guilty, right, you know. And it's like saying, pull up those pants, get ready for the day. Giving us this idea, giving us this important truth that it is so important that to have audacious care for our personal health, pointing out the obvious loose ends that we can trip up on. What are the obvious loose ends as you start your day, as you go about your day, that we can so easily trip on, that we know our vices, we know where we're weak. Maybe it's your anger, maybe it's your lust, maybe it's your pride, maybe it's your diet, maybe it's your language, maybe it's too much alcohol, whatever it is, it's being real with those loose ends that constantly trip you up, call them out before your day starts, and literally tuck them in the belt of truth. It's calling them out. Stop putting on the mask of, I got it, I got it, I can handle it, I got it. No, you don't. You don't have it. I remember early on, years back in my life, where I would constantly keep tripping up with my eyes, not looking lustfully at any other woman, right? But to only have eyes for my wife. And it'd be so easy for me to get tripped up and breaking that. And so for many years, I used to just put on the mask. I'd put on the mask and say, I got it. I got it. I'm fine. I got it. I got it. I can do this. No, I couldn't. I couldn't do it on my own strength. And so what did I do? I put up guardrails in my life that on my devices, every device that I have this program that helps me in my accountability to not look at things that I shouldn't be looking at. What are the things in your life that are constantly tripping you up, or you put on this mask of, I got it, I got it. Humble yourself and realize you don't have it. You can't do it all on your own. You need help. The Word of God tells us, don't put on this mask. Instead, put on the belt of truth. Put on the belt of truth. 1 Peter 1:13, preparing your mind for action before you head out, being sober-minded. Here's the next one. He says, and having not only put on the belt of truth, but having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate of righteousness? In the first century, they would put on these plates over their chest before battle. It was a combo of like leather and metal stitched together, and it was used to protect the vital organs of your heart, of your intestines, of your lungs, right? And in first century, when they would think about their heart, it was all I was actually also talking about your mind, the idea of your mind. And isn't it true? Isn't it true? Come on. Isn't it true how the enemy loves to mess with our minds? I don't know about you, how much the enemy loves to mess with my mind, clouding our minds with false things, with false teachings of who he is and false teachings about who we are. The enemy loves to mess with our minds, to distort our minds, to distort our emotions, our loyalty, our goals, our purpose, our affections. He's so sneaky. He slowly seduces our minds to become used to sin. He slowly makes us laugh over our sin instead of mourning over our sin, starting to rationalize sin instead of confessing our sin. He wants us to in our minds to mentally think more worldly than instead of more godly. And he'll gray it up just enough. He'll gray it up just enough so that you can't mentally tell the difference anymore. To have audacious care for our personal health and our lives, we must put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is not the righteousness that God gives us. When we give our lives to Jesus, we are made righteous in the image, in the sight of God because of what Jesus has done. It's his righteousness over us. But then as we live our lives, there's this continual righteousness as we continually go after the characteristics of God. Anything that we try to do to be righteous, in Isaiah it says it's just like filthy rags to God. You see, you got to remember this truth. Jesus saved us from the penalty of sin, but not from the presence of sin. When we give our lives to Jesus, he saves us from the penalty of sin, but not from the very presence of sin. And so as we continually live through this world, we continually strive to be righteous as Christ has modeled for us, our great imitator. We are to imitate his ways. And what we find true, and I say this all the time, the closer we get to him, the more we look like him. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we look like Jesus. And the more that we get closer to him, he starts to reveal to us the evil and the wickedness that is just living in our hearts. Things we don't even realize, but the more we get closer to him, the more he shows us that. Psalm 139, the Psalm David, he tells us this: search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive or evil way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Stop putting on the mask of, I'm good. Because you're not good. I'm not good. Our hearts at the core are offensive, are evil. But because of his righteousness, he covers us. Stop putting on the mask of I'm good and put on the breastplate of righteousness. How has the enemy been seducing you away from the righteousness of God? Next, let's go on to the next armor. It says this: and as not only the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, but and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. He tells us to put on, to get fitted, to have shoes of peace. Now, 6 months ago, I started something that I never thought I'd ever do, and that's run. I started running. I never thought I'd enjoy running, but I had to work off the COVID-15, you know, and I started running, and I started to run probably a little too long, a little too fast, and I got what is known as the shin splints. And it hurt so bad for weeks, I could barely walk. And so I started to talk to people that were more, they had more wisdom when it came to running. And I went to a store that literally measured my foot, watched how I was walking, showed me that I'm a heel striker, and was trying to help me to run more on the front of my foot, and went through this whole process. And then they got me these Hokas. They fitted me for these Hokas. And I'm telling you what, when I started to run with these shoes, game changer. That's right. Game changer. These became a game changer for me when I started to run with these, because it helped correct the way that I ran. And then if I did accidentally start to run on my heel, there's so much cushion. I mean, look at the size of that cushion back there, that I didn't feel the pain on the shins. And listen, I can still run, you know, without the Hokas. But when I put on the Hokas, the peace that comes over my mind and the readiness that I feel to go for a run and take on whatever run that I feel like that has coming for me, I'm ready because of that. Now, in a very similar way, when it comes to putting on the shoes, soldiers back then, way more than athletics, it was so important for them to put on the right shoe, because a soldier that had feet that were blistered or cut or swollen, they weren't ready. They weren't ready and they couldn't fight good, because if they didn't have the right shoes. It's important for us to put on the shoes of peace. Audacious care for ourselves is putting on the shoes of peace, reminding us of the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, knowing that God wants a real relationship with us, giving us that peace as we head into battle, knowing that he wants union with us, knowing that we have a God that's cheering us on, loving us for who we are, not for what we do. So important. He is the one that is restoring us. The enemy wants to destroy you, but Jesus, God, he wants to restore your soul, and we walk in that peace. Colossians 3, it says this. It says, and let the peace that comes from Christ, what does it say? Rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Are you putting on the mask of false peace? In your life today, are you putting on the mask of false peace, letting earthly things try to fill that peace, or your finances, or the stock market, or your house, or stuff, or even a relationship? All of those things will fall short. But the peace of putting on the shoes of peace that comes from Christ, wow, that is always a game changer that we have. Next, it says this, in all circumstances, it says, take up the shield of faith. It says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Back in the first century, they had two different types of shields. They had the smaller ones, the smaller shields that they would put right there on their arms. But the shield specifically that Paul is talking about is the shield that was about 2 feet wide and about 4.5 feet tall. And people back then actually were shorter than they are today. And so a lot of times in battle, they'd get together and they'd crouch down as the shield would be, you know, covering them to help them against the darts that were flying at them, the fiery darts that were flying at them. And this is not a shield of faith like the faith that we put our faith in God as our salvation. This is a continual faith. And it's that idea of, right, sometimes in life, it can be so hard to have faith in God. Sometimes it can be so hard to trust God. Because of, as we've walked through COVID-19, or because of your finances, or your marriage, or a relationship, or your job, if you're going to have one or not, or school stuff, whatever it is, sometimes when things get tough, it's easy to lose faith and to back up and to back down and to literally just let fear overtake us. And so what do we do? What do we do in those seasons? We don't back up in fear. No. He tells us to take up the shield of faith. When it feels like our prayers aren't working anymore, and it feels like this sickness and disease that we've been fighting is never going to end, instead of backing up in fear, no, what do? We take up our shield of faith. When our child is a wayward child and they're disconnecting from us and they're disconnecting from God, and we just feel like there's no hope, what do? We pick up our shield of faith. When it feels like it's been year after year after year, and it feels like our spouse is never going to engage and have a relationship with Jesus, and our prayers have starting to grow cold. No. We don't let those prayers grow cold. No, we pick up our shield of faith with all that we have. Audacious care for ourselves is picking up the shield of faith instead of putting on the mask of, I'm fine. Are you putting on the mask today of, I'm fine? Come on, you're not fine. You know you're not fine. You're exhausted. You're spent. You just want to scream if you could. You feel helpless. You feel broken. And you're doubting everything. And sometimes in those moments, what do we got to do? We've got to crouch down. We've got to get on our knees. And we have to understand that God is our refuge, that He is our shield. And when those darts of doubt and those darts of exhaustion and fear, and with like we just want to give up, and every other arrow that the enemy throws at us, what do? We pick up the shield of faith. We throw off the mask of fear and we pick up the shield of faith. Last two, and we'll make it quick. It says this, and take the helmet of salvation. What's the helmet of salvation? The enemy with a massive sword wants to just come and just chop the head right off. And how does he do that? He does that with discouragement. He does that with the ability to make us doubt our assurance and our security of our salvation. He wants to discourage you so bad. He wants to point out all of your flaws. He wants to point out all of your mistakes and make you question if you're truly, truly saved. And my friends, you need to hear me. If you have gotten to the point where you truly believe that Jesus died, rose again, conquered the grave to take away your sin problem, and you've put your faith in that, you are truly saved, and no one can take that from you. Jesus reminds us of this in John 10. Remember what he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." No one. You are saved, not because of your perfection. You're saved because of Jesus' perfection. And what's so easy for us to do is to fall into this trap, and just don't let your imperfection belittle the perfection of Christ. So many times I've done this. So many times I've talked to many of you who are watching, where you start to let your imperfection and your failures belittle the perfection of Christ on the cross. The power of the cross has the power to cancel out your sin once and for all. The past, the present, and the future sins. It's unbelievable. Put on, don't put on the mask of insecurity and feeling like you don't have assurance of your salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. Lastly, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We talked about the idea last week of being extra and showing up to our daily encounter. And part of showing up extra in our daily encounter is by reading the scriptures. The importance where it says that these words are God's words. The inerrant scripture of God is alive and living. I always have said it's like there's a pulse in the pages that is speaking to us. I love this quote by the Scottish pastor, Thomas Guthrie. He says this, "The Bible is an armory of heavenly weapons, a laboratory of infallible medicines, a mine of exhaustless wealth. It is a guidebook for every road, a chart for every sea, a palm for every wound." You cannot use it. You cannot use it well unless you know it well. You cannot use this well and use this sword well and master this well if you don't know it well. And it's really easy for us to make excuse after excuse after excuse not to engage in the Word of God. This past week, October 6th, was the anniversary of the death, the martyr of William Tyndale in 1536. Why did he die? He died because he translated the Latin Bible into English, and the government at that time did not want it going to the common people so they could read it for themselves. People had to fight to get their hands on this, to consume this. We don't have any excuse. We live in the information age. We got all the information in the world that we could handle. And so we can't plead ignorance or inability or we're not smart enough. We can only plead disinterest and neglect or that we're too busy. We have to understand that we have the sword of the Spirit of the living God lives in us and helps us interpret it. And I get it, it's intimidating. It can be intimidating, it's intimidating to me. But we take section by section, word by word, verse by verse, and we go to it. And if we don't understand it, we search it out, we talk to a friend. That's why city groups are so important. We engage, we wrestle with it, we chew on it. It is such a weapon. It is such a resource for us as we go through the battle. Are you putting on a mask? What mask are you putting on? What front are you putting on? Or are you putting on the whole armor of God? Which parts of the armor are you neglecting? Are you putting on the belt of truth? Or are there obvious things that you keep letting trip you up over and over again? Are you putting on the breastplate of righteousness? Or what are the areas that the enemy is slowly making gray to make you go far away from righteousness? Are you putting on the shoes of peace for your hope? Or are you putting peace into things that just will fade away? Are you taking up the shield of faith, or are you backing up with a mask of fear? Are you putting on the helmet of salvation? Or is the enemy making you doubt and making you think that your salvation isn't secure? Are you picking up the sword of the Spirit, or are you leaving the scriptures collecting dust on the shelf? What a gift that we have to face this real spiritual battle. We have access to all of this, and I'm just like you. I neglect these all the time. Which one are you neglecting? And let's stop neglecting it. Let's take off that mask and let's put on the full armor of God instead. Now this list, this armor, this gift that we have for us, this is for those who have put their faith in Jesus. But some of you watching, you know, you don't have access to this. You don't have access to this because you haven't given your life to Jesus. And right now, I truly believe you've listened this far because God is calling out to you to humble yourself, to let go, and to surrender your life to Him so that He can now give you access to all of this armor for your life as you weather the spiritual battle in your life. And so I would just ask you, what are you waiting for? Don't you want to put this armor on? Because when you have access to this armor, your life becomes better. Why? Because you look more like Jesus. And that is audacious care for yourself, for your personal health. And not only that, others take notice, and then it's audacious care for them. God loves you so much. He has such bold, audacious care and love for you. So right now, I want to give you the opportunity to give your life, to surrender your life to Him. So wherever you're at, you can close your eyes, you can open your eyes, bow your head, get on your knees, stand up, wherever you're at, I just want you in the most real way to repeat this prayer, make it your own. Right now, just say, Father, here I am. I lay down my life to You. I believe that You're the only one that can take away my sin. Thank You for paying the penalty for my sin, for dying for me, and then rising again for me, erasing my sin once and for all. Right now, I securely give my life to You. As we continue to pray, if you meant that, if you truly believe that, as stated earlier, no one can take that from you. No one can snatch that from you. And now you have access to take advantage of this full armor of God. Father, we love you. We need you. Thank you so much for the gift of the armor that you provide for us. Forgive me. Forgive us, those of us who have a relationship with you today. Forgive us for neglecting the different pieces of armor. Help us to have boldness and care for our personal health and put on daily the full armor of God.